When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. The Yankees, BT, are a mess, and, well, I shouldn't say they're a mess. That's not right to say after getting to the World Series. But, I mean, they had a messy fifth inning. They haven't been buttoned up all year long. And maybe the better way to say it is it's getting messier surrounding the Yankees and their fundamentals, something that we acknowledge all year long, watching them play. How could you not? But now you're seeing articles start to come out. I guess it was Joel Sherman of the Post had it yesterday.
Yep.
Talking about the Dodgers and how their scouts went into the series basically mocking and laughing and trying to take advantage of the Yankees and their ineptitude.
I've got to read something for you here. This is embarrassing. The Yankees should be straight up embarrassed by this. To the point where, and I said yesterday, if I owned and ran the Yankees, I would be, first of all, I'd be mad. But I'd be further embarrassed by this article, which I'll reference in a moment in more detail. Where I would have to make sweeping changes. Like, if I wasn't predisposed to do something about what happened in the World Series yesterday, when this comes out, I am. All right? So, very good article by Heyman. It was, John. Pardon me, by Sherman.
Sherman, yeah.
What the Dodgers told their players in scouting meetings was that the Yankees were talent over fundamentals, that if you run the bases with purpose and aggression, they will self-inflict harm, as was exposed by Betts, Edmund, Freeman, etc., that the value was very high to put the ball in play to make the Yankees execute. They mentioned that the Yankees were not just the major's worst base-running team by every definable metric. I've referenced that before, even this article. I knew that. I said it yesterday and before that. But the difference was vast on the field between them and the Padres, who the Dodgers beat in the NL Division Series, but were impressive in this area. How about this? The Dodgers were thrilled at how short Yankee leads were at first base. What did John Smoltz say about Soto, which we referenced on the show?
Yes.
He had about a lead of a foot, you know, that maybe a pitcher would take who was wearing a jacket in 1989 who was no threat to do anything. And it's not that Juan Soto, now this is me injecting, I'll get back to the article in a minute. It's not that Juan Soto's going to steal second base. It's that in the World Series, if a ball is hit hard and Edmund deflects it and doesn't catch it clean and knocks it down and gets it up and gathers and tosses to second, it's going to be a close play. And if you've got a good lead, you've got a better chance to make it. When you have a 16-inch lead, you basically have no chance to make it. All right, so anyway, they were thrilled at how short the Yankee leads were at first base to potentially be less of a threat. This is how deep baseball gets now. On pivots at second, where Gavin Lux does not excel. They said that they had their metrics as the Yankees as the worst positioned outfield, meaning wherever the balls hit and wherever they were before that, it is the worst, okay? They were amazed how many times, there's a number on this, how many times relay throws came skittering through the infield with no one taking charge, and how often Jazz Chisholm, for example, was out of place or just standing around when the play was still going on and there was action. What happened with Gleyber at second base, and not only Gleyber, but also Anthony Rizzo not being the trailer on that play? Like, this is stuff that you forget about winning the World Series. It's actually a minor miracle that they won the division.
Correct. Correct. It's why I was saying
this is embarrassing.
Those are exact things is why I was saying Baltimore was going to be better. Now, obviously, that proved to be wrong. It's why I was saying the Yankees still could be vulnerable even in a weakened AL postseason. Obviously, I was wrong. They were able to overcome those things until they met their match. And that's where I got it right, that the Dodgers were really no match for the Yankees. The Yankees just won. It was a step up in class that they weren't ready for. All those things is what we've been seeing. I'll take it a step further. We also touched on this yesterday, but just to reiterate, Kike Hernandez on the base paths, on the Judge flub in center field.
Yep.
Kike easily could have been like Gleyber Torres or pick another lazy Yankee, could be Juan Soto, whoever, puts their head down, turns back, assumes that Judge makes the catch. Instead, he was looking back, he was aware, paying attention to the first base coach saying, go, 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 busts it, makes it to second base. Also, busting it on the ground ball to Volpe, putting the pressure on Volpe, who Volpe then gets a bad grip, he throws it in the dirt. Jazz, who's not really a third baseman, he makes a miscue by not being able to pick that ball up. Like, Yankees got a guy in center who's not a center fielder, a guy at third base who's not a real third baseman.
A guy in first base who can't move anymore and doesn't seem interested to even try.
A guy in right field who's a liability defensively.
Yeah, I mean, Soto's horrendous in right field.
Torres at second base who's... I mean, you know, do we need to go into detail?
No, we don't. We know who Torres is. Sometimes he's special, and sometimes he's mystifyingly in space.
So this just confirms, like, we didn't need the scouts to say it, but what it does is expose the Yankees on another level, because if we scream about it, it's a little different. Oh, yeah. Like, Cashman could be like, yeah, well, these guys don't know what they're talking about. If you guys call and scream about it, yeah, the fans, they don't know what they're talking about. But when now you get exposed in the New York Post by Joel Sherman because of Dodger scouts that he's talking to, and the Dodger organization, Kike Hernandez, talking about it, what the Yankees do.
Kelly, Joe, hey, we're just waiting for the Yankee defense to show up. That's what they said on camera.
So now it's not just us saying it. Now it's... everybody's saying it except the Yankees.
And by the way, every other team has a scouting report. The Dodgers just happened, you know, great job by Sherman getting this source of a very well-sourced story. But the Dodgers have their report. Now, maybe their report's more detailed, that it's better, and their advanced scouting is a little bit better. But it's not the Dodgers alone who know that the Yankees are basically sloppy in every facet. It's all Major League Baseball.
Okay, so now I ask you, because we had this conversation yesterday, let's have it again today. After reading that and having more legitimacy to it and realizing that it's not just one thing, what do you think is the Yankees' biggest problem?
Well, the Yankees' biggest problem is the way they are run from the most basic inner level.
Okay.
I don't think that they necessarily draft the right players.
Okay.
When they get there, they don't teach them the right way. I mean, it is at the most basic level.
So how then can this
be? They mask it with talent.
How then can this be on Aaron Boone?
Well, because Aaron Boone is the manager, and Aaron Boone, whether it's, you know, from the first day of spring training, has a chance to drill the fundamentals in every player, and if they are not followed, there needs to be repercussions, which there never are. Now, listen, I understand.
But don't you think this is just a players thing and a bigger thing with the organization bringing in these players and is the manager?
But there's got to be a certain checkpoint. I mean, and when you're on the field, I've got to look in the dugout. When I analyze the roster and the offseason pursuit of players and eventual construction of the 2025 roster, I'm not looking at Boone. I'm looking at Brian Cashman. I understand that this is not, hey, where were you? You know, go give me five laps. You know, guy was making $70 gazillion. I hear you. Yeah. Give me 25 push-ups. They're grown men, and there's a way to communicate it, but their failure to identify what matters, the little things in baseball. I don't mean getting, you know, transcendent players that mask all these deficiencies like Soto and obviously Judge is a stud. I mean having it a core principle when you are drafted by the New York Yankees. And it shouldn't just be a Yankee thing. It's not like an aura and 27 championship thing. It should be there are several things that are non-negotiable. Number one, you hate the Red Sox. Number two, we are about championships. But really, before 1 and 2, we play a certain way. And they play the opposite way. And, you know, I do blame Boone in the respect that if I pointed it out on my couch, which I did, and on the show, if Smoltz, who really does know, I know he talks a lot, but I think his brain is awesome with baseball. He's saying it, and you know why he's talking about Juan Soto's lead? Because the scouting reports that Sherman referenced in this.
Yeah, he knew about
this. Might be the most amazing article on the Yankees that I've read in a long time. It was that good. He knew the scouting report because he's got contacts, which means everybody does. And Sal, one more thing about this. There are... And I even tell the kids that I coach, hey, I'm never going to ask you to do something that you can't do. You know, and I think that's a good way to go through life, even with your kids as parents, not just with sports. It's unfair and unrealistic to expect people to do things that they are physically incapable of. I could not run a 6.760, so nobody held me to that standard because I was slow. And there are certain inherent deficiencies that God just didn't give you certain things. That's why not everybody's a shortstop or a center fielder. But in terms of the extra half-foot lead or the secondary lead or being buttoned up and attentive to details and backing up and being in the – that is non-negotiable. I don't care how fast or slow you are. If you are not locked in, yeah, that's on you. I agree. But that's also on the manager.
But this is why it's an organization.
I'm not giving him a pass.
This is why it's an organizational thing.
I know.
They hired Aaron Boone to do a certain thing, and it was not tighten things up. It was to coddle and love these players and give them a little nice little pat on the back as opposed to a kick in the ass. It was not to say, hey, what are you doing over there at second base? Act like you're in the game. It was more to be like, it's okay, Gleyber. We'll get him next time, buddy. That's what Boone was hired for. It's ridiculous. So I'm not blaming the manager. I blame the organization.
That was a different sound voice. Keep going. You're on a roll.
I blame the organization for how they've gone about drafting, developing, and bringing in players.
Mm-hmm.
It's the philosophy or lack of accountability. You add it up, moving guys around, playing them out of position, not valuing the little things, the base running, the defense, the minutia, all those things that add up to winning games. They're awful on the bases. We don't care. We got Giancarlo Stanton, who went healthy. He's going to hit 40 home runs. He's never healthy, so let's overlook that. Yeah, but okay, well, we could get him healthy in the postseason. He's going to go on a run. Yeah, that's great. And how'd that work out for you? He can't play a position. He can't run the bases. Those things. Like, I'd rather have a guy, I would guarantee, for all you Yankee fans who get caught up in Stanton and, oh, wow, look at him, Mr. October, next Reggie Jackson. I would guarantee you I can find a ball player who can help you win more games in October than Giancarlo Stanton. Give me somebody that fields.
Yep.
Give me somebody that runs. Give me somebody that puts the bat on the ball in key spots. Only, which would also be in addition to having power guys like Soto and
Judge.
You don't need another one on top of that. It can't be all the same things. That's why I'm not blaming Boone at all. I'm not saying he had a good series because I don't think that he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting on him as much as other people. I understand a lot of his moves, maybe more so than others. But this is an organizational problem with the New York Yankees.
He's a three-generation baseball man. That's what's most confounding about this. You know, my dad didn't play in the show. My grandfather didn't play in the show. But your dad didn't even love watching sports.
Right, right. He didn't want to watch the show.
Exactly. So, you know, our family tree, you know, wherever our kids go with it, you know, that's the next branch. But there's really nothing before us, right? So it's amazing to me that a third-generation baseball player from that type of background – not that Boone was great, but he's been around the game his whole life.
Yeah, but do you think
he Brett told us the story when they won the World Series and he slept at Pete Rose's house.
Right.
Remember that
in
1980? Yeah. And he had a beer or a sip of champagne when he was a kid with Pete. And think about that team and think about the way Pete Rose played the game. Aaron and Brett Boone and their dad, the catcher, they were around Pete Rose. So to me, to exonerate fully Aaron Boone is insane.
Well,
he is the manager.
Yeah, but he didn't have a great series, but it's not...
He didn't have a great series. This is who they are. This is their identity.
Correct, but it's not him. It's the organization.
But he's not doing anything to change it. Now, I'm going to meet you halfway. I don't think he is the first order, like, of taking issue with.
He probably knows more baseball than anybody in the organization, to your point.
I agree that he probably does, but then you watch his team play, and it looks like a team that knows the least amount of baseball. So he's the manager.
I get it, because he's trying to work with guys that just can't do things the way that, you know, he needed them to be done and to tighten things up. For me, it's not about Boone. Now, I'm not saying that he was great in the World Series, because I don't think that he was, but for me, it's more about the organization and the players that the Yankees have brought in.
I do have some rumors that are coming across right now. I want to make sure I get this right. Rumors are saying that Aaron Judge is set in the offseason to headline in Times Square New Year's Eve celebrations. Rumors saying he'll be the one dropping the ball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Such a mess. I mean, why don't you just start playing the old song Rumors? How do rumors get started? I mean, go all the way, man. Jeez.
Hoff was sitting on the bench yesterday. He didn't get a chance to get in.
Is that true? He was sitting on that for a while?
I don't know when he came up with that one, but I'm saying yesterday he didn't get his piece. He wanted to get a little piece, I think.
Yeah, he didn't get a piece of the meat as the Mets fan. That's all right. You feel better. Cathartic moment for you.
Oh, I feel great, yeah.
Right. Let's get to the calls here, shall we? 888-808-1019. Jeff is in Hamilton. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you guys?
Hey, Jeff. What's going on, buddy?
So I want to make three quick points, and I think they're all true. First question, or point question is, when you get traded to the Yankees or you join the Yankees, what is a mandatory thing you have to do?
Cut your hair, all that nonsense.
Okay, so there is organizational stuff that's expected. You have to cut your hair and you have to be whatever, okay?
Yeah.
So there is organizational stuff. Second thing, this report that came out, everybody kind of already assumed this because the Yankees played careless ball. As far as Sal, what he's saying, listen, Boone's bullpen decisions in Game 5 and Boone's knucklehead decisions in Game 1 cost his team. He did not drop the ball.
Which one in Game 5?
Not going to Weaver.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I would have kept Holmes in.
Okay.
Weaver looked gassed.
Well, and then one last point.
By the way, we saw Weaver. Everybody's like, oh, Weaver. They used Weaver the night before. He didn't have it for two innings. And Boone knew it. He only had one bullet to fire with Weaver. That was one inning. I heard Evan and Tiki talking about this, and thank you for the call, Jeff. I heard Evan and Tiki talking about this yesterday. I couldn't disagree with Evan more. You cannot go with Weaver there in the eighth inning. The move to me would have been Holmes, but no matter what, you were not getting two from Weaver because you saw him. He looked gassed.
I think it's hard for those of us, you know, who didn't play at that level to really, when you watch major league, I don't mean like lower level, it's pretty obvious, but to look at a major leaguer and say he's out of it. Like his tank is empty.
And when that's your best guy.
And I felt like Weaver, some of those pitches at the end, that's what I saw.
So is it fair to say, based off of what we ended up seeing, that Boone knew ahead of time based on the workload?
Yeah, I'm not going to crush him on that. Remember, you asked me yesterday, I was actually okay with Tommy Canley, despite throwing changeup after changeup. I was okay in real time, and I'm gonna tell you what I'm thinking in real time, not the day after when I can conveniently change things. But I think now we're kind of getting off the lead. To me, the World Series is over. What happened. But understand this, guys. The Dodgers beat the Yankees. They hit 206 in totality. 206. Not 290. 206. And they scored 25 runs in five games, which is obviously five runs a game. And they had seven home runs, which is not an inordinate amount of home runs. And they won the series easily. The Yankees won once. And the thing that happened with Cole and Rizzo at the end, with Rizzo laying out, I know the ball was turning. I got it. It had some spin, understood. We talked about this a main way sideways. But go back to, remember the four-game sweep in Kansas City? If I had to guess, it was maybe May or June. Yeah. I think it was earlier.
Of a sweep.
Yes. And you remember the play?
Four-game series, right. You said.
It was a day game, and it was Rizzo at first base, and I believe it was Clay Holmes who was on the mound. And there was something similar where either Holmes was late to cover or Rizzo wasn't aggressively going to the ball and getting to the bag. Whatever it was, that was the impetus behind the Yankee losing that game and not getting the sweep. Now, you're not going to go nuts because even though nobody thought Kansas City, especially at that point in the year, was anything good, but you win three or four on the road, Yanks are vibing a little bit. We mentioned it, but we didn't go nuts. That was just another example of what the Yankees don't do well.
It's been there right in front of it right in front of us for everybody to see all year long. But what happens is because they were winning a lot of times, and by the way, I would further the example by saying they weren't even winning enough from June on, but because of their red-hot start and because of Soto and Judge and their star power and the home runs, you overlook those little things. Because it may not, and that's why I say sometimes you can't just go based off of the results. Well, yeah, but they're winning. Yeah, that's great. But Zach Wilson's their quarterback and the defense over, like, that's nice that they've won, but you got to look a little bit further. With the Yankees, yeah, that's nice that they've won and they had the best record in the American League. Like, that is a real thing. But if you also watch this team play, you've seen those little things throughout the course of the year that you just had to believe at some point it's going to catch up with them. Now, to their credit, BT, they made it to the World Series.
Like, no question. Like, and I enjoyed the run up until it wasn't fun.
There was nowhere higher to go than the World Series. You only had to get four more wins. So all those things that we talk about, the bad base running, the bad fundies, the manager, this or that, all those different things, the inability to tack on, to score, drive guys in early on, maybe take some stress off your bullpen, whatever it may be, all those things that the Yankees failed at, still they were good enough to get to the World Series and win a game in the World Series. But ultimately, for sustained success and to have a better chance of beating better teams in the postseason, like the Astros or like the Dodgers, you need to build a team that could just play the game at a better level.
How they continue to try to win the same way when it's proven fatally evasive year after year is beyond me. I don't know how Hal can wake up today and get his hands on this article and not make sweeping changes. I don't know how he's... I know he's not going to. I don't know how he doesn't.
You just nailed it. Trying to win the same way for years, and it hasn't worked.
That report's embarrassing.
And they think, the Yankees think, that they're smarter than everybody else. We'll win. We'll break through one of these years. Oh, look, we got to the ALCS in 2022. Oh, look, we got cheated out of a World Series in 2017, or whatever, 2019. Mm. Oh, look, we made it to the World Series. Okay, keep doing that. Keep thinking that that's the answer. They're doing the same damn thing year after year. We want to thank the Red Bulls. By the way, I'm going to the playoff game. Red Bulls have a playoff game.
Look at you, you soccer maniac.
Yeah, Sammy got me hooked. Sammy Steinlein of the Red Bulls invited me a couple of weeks ago. I went. I loved it. This time I'm going to take my family. So I'm going to take my wife and my daughter, Sammy.
Nice. Are you going to sit with them?
I don't know. I'll be getting food or whatever, and they can hang out. No, but we're going to go. It's right near where we
live. Right off 280.
Yeah, so it's an easy commute.
Yeah.
There's something about the soccer game that's calming that I liked.
Yeah.
And the sporting event, and it's a playoff game, and they really take care of us. So the Red Bulls, and they brought in donuts today for everybody. Those glazed donuts, dude. I usually don't eat that stuff, but it was delicious.
So we all went to town. They have hooked us up forever. Sammy's a great guy. They got a nice product out there. You know, what is that, Sunday at 4?
4:30 start.
We got a playoffs football game, we can't go. But I've been there, but not, oddly enough, not for a game. I did a show there. I don't know why. Maybe the stadium just opened. I don't know. And I remember having Donnie Walsh on the show. It was a million years ago when he was running the Knicks.
Right.
And I remember getting a tour of the place, and it was amazing. And a lot of people that I know that play soccer, their kids, like, they go often, and they love the experience. Like, the Red Bulls put on a good show.
I'm going to check an item off the list. I don't know about a bucket list necessarily, but check soccer game, because I've never been to one until I went recently. And now soccer playoff game.
There you go.
They play best 2 out of 3. The Red Bulls are up 1-0.
I'm going to get you to the Liberty next year.
Yeah, maybe. If they invite us out and send us some swag, I'm all for it. I finally got the sweatshirt Sammy sent, so I'm good to go.
You can buy us.
It can't be bought. Hey, who's next? I want some St. John's gear.
Oh, that's coming. As a matter of fact, I got some St. John's things I have to read, right? Hoff was telling me. First game's Monday night.
I know you're saying. I'm looking forward to that, too.
We'll get you Johnny's gear. I got you.
Yeah, St. John's or Rutgers, whoever sends me the stuff first, they got to pay.
Hey, I got news for you. I do St. John's, but if Rutgers sent me some good swag, I'll wear a little Rutgers hoodie, too.
I like that. Did you have both the donut and the pie that they sent over
Red
Bulls?
I had a little teeny, I shouldn't do this, but I do. I have little slivers. So this is how I rationalize in my mind. I don't go for the full donut, nor do I go for the full slice of pie. But I go back in like little dribs and drabs, and it winds up equating to the same big slab that I would have had if I just had the slab to start.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because Hoff and I were having this discussion yesterday. There was some, or the other day, there was some pizza out in the cafeteria. You know, sometimes it's random things that they're celebrating.
Uh-huh.
And Hoff was saying, like, you'll just take bites of pizza and then throw the rest out. Is that true?
He wasn't saying I would throw it in the box where people in the community, garbage.
You grab a slice, you take a bite or two, and then throw it out.
Oh, I do that. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Hoff, you want to call BT?
I mean, no, he admitted to it just now. Yeah, like he'll, especially the crust, he'll never touch the crust.
Well,
but like,
that's different. I think if you eat the whole slice and not the crust, you're okay.
No, I would say there's a good half of the slice that's still left that goes in the garbage.
You know what it is? Because to me, the top of the pizza, he's not wrong. The top of the pizza, it's like a little more oily and a little more cheesy, which is what I want. So, but I do the same thing with that.
You
in
do
my
it at home, too?
Yeah. But I also have like a meatball. Like if we have pizza night, I always get like a shrimp parmesan here or a meatball parmesan or chicken parmesan
and
or calzone.
Then
and then
a
couple of nipples. Yeah, the kids have the pizza. But I do the same stupid thing. Instead of having just, you know, in my mind, like two slices of pizza, I'll nibble on like six. And I'm like, oh, I didn't really have a lot each time. But the idiot, he still had two slices, maybe three. So
that is hilarious. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Tom is calling from Comac. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good, Tommy. How are you?
I got a fun little prop for you, BT. You ready?
Okay. Go ahead, bud. Go ahead.
All right. So the Jets make the playoffs.
Okay.
What happens once they get in is unknown. You know, could lose first round, could win the Super Bowl, whatever. But Juan Soto is a New York Met.
Which one would I want?
No, that's the trade-off. Jets make the playoffs. But Juan Soto becomes a
no. Hey, by the way, I mean, that's an interesting incorporation of many
like
pertinent
that.
Topics right now. So I'm not trying to dismiss Tom's trade or, you know, positioning to me, whatever. I want Juan Soto to stay. I really do. I mean, why wouldn't you? I don't need Juan Soto to stay. You and I talked about this, and I don't think you disagree. Now, for the Mets, they need the superstar. He's 25, 26. It changes their profile. From the Yankees' perspective, as we've just discussed, they can't even run the bases or make basic defensive plays, including Juan Soto. So, yeah, I'd love him to bat in front of Judge for whatever remains of Judge's prime, 3, 4, 5 years. And I really love, so he is a surgeon in the box, and I love him. But if he goes somewhere else, did the Yankees win the championship? The answer is no. So for people who tell me, oh, you can't win the champion, you can't let Juan Soto go, how are you going to win the championship? You had Juan Soto, you didn't win.
Right.
So there's other, and I'm saying that not fully his fault at all, but there are multiple ways to build a championship team.
There are three perspectives for the Juan Soto discussion. One, Yankees perspective. Two, Mets perspective. Three, Mets versus Yankees perspective. And Tom wanted to bring that up there. You being the Yankee fan,
would you
sign right now to make the Jets a playoff team, but you lose Soto to the Mets?
No, listen, I'm a negotiator. I'm a negotiator. Yeah. I'm gonna counter here. And since we hung up on Tommy, you can speak for a second. You could be his mouthpiece here. My counter is this. I'd be very interested in a deal. I'll say goodbye to Soto. Jets get to the Super Bowl. I don't want just a wild card.
I got
you. You push this thing ahead, you can have Soto.
Jets get to the Super Bowl. How about win a playoff game?
No, I want Super Bowl.
That's my counter offer to your counter.
I turned that down, sir.
Can I make a counter to both of
you? What do you got, Hoff?
All right, so the Jets make the playoffs. The Knicks get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, we're going to go multi-layers here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. By the way, Knicks are playing tonight, and I saw Cat banged up his wrist a little bit. Playing the Pistons, it'll be fine.
I finally caught it. Dude, who thinks that this guy's soft? From what I'm seeing, he's not soft.
He's finesse. Soft is not the right word.
He's finessey. He gave one of those arm pumps against Miami.
Yeah. I got
anyway,
you.
We'll,
he played
we'll
great against Miami. So let me see, Hop. So the Jets win a playoff game. The Knicks get to the ECFs. And you guys have Soto?
I don't know if that's good enough for the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying here. I mean, you just fired the shot that is supposed to, like, it's, I don't want to say it's expected because anything can happen, but
you're getting two for one.
I understand that, but the Knicks are kind of supposed to get to the conference finals because they would have been there a year ago if everybody didn't get hurt. Now you have Towns, so I reject your offer as well.
Oh, my God.
Counter offer, sir?
Here's
the Islanders win a playoff game.
That might get Saint Sal John's. Excited. He's the Islander fan.
St. John's makes the tournament.
Listen, St. John's what?
Makes the tournament. St. John's?
I need win a game. Because I've done two tournament
like
games
three
with St. John's.
I'm giving you a 3-for-1. I get Soto for the Mets.
Boy.
You get the Jets postseason.
Yeah.
You get Knicks Eastern Conference Final.
That is quite a bit.
And St. John's in the tournament.
Can you throw an afternoon drive and then I'm all in?
Yeah.
Woo! You know what?
Hey, friends, through drive, I'll keep
can you join
in
me doing home show? Everybody was on Zoom yesterday. Can you throw that in once a week? Why not? Yeah, you got a deal. I would say this, Sal. Johnny's
win a game in the tournament.
Okay, win an NCAA tournament game for the first time since that would have been 2001.
Yes.
Because they lost to Wisconsin in 2002. Win a game, Knicks ECFs, Jets get to or win a playoff game? There's no doubt you could have Soto. Take him.
Just be. What you can have him. Be careful what you wish for.
You can have him.
Scott Boras, are you listening?
It's easy. It's easy to forget the battles and the crap that I took, not even just from you, but from everybody when I said Soto was going to be a Met.
You mean when he first came to the Yankees and then pushing this forward a year? Yeah, I got it. I mean, go ahead.
All kidding aside, though, if I were you, I would sign for that because I still think the Yankees could be better without Soto, and you're getting three things that you care about.
And that's a big piece of the way I structure my beliefs here, because I said that yesterday before you guys presented me with these. By the way, these things will never present themselves as real things.
Right.
But just for fun, which it did, I said the same thing. Like, I want Soto, but, you know, you can do this, and I gave you a few. And there's more days to build out real tangible moves for both teams, not necessarily today, but just as an overall and an overriding concept. The Yankees could be better next year without Juan Soto. That is not implausible.
Now, remember.
Yeah.
If the King delivers Juan Soto, we now have to refer to him as the King.
And I don't know that was part of the deal.
You said that I can't call him King until he delivers. They had a great season, but even that is not King crown worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get Soto away from the Yankees, I think we all have to acknowledge that there is a king in town.
I actually think what I agreed upon, not that I would call him king. I'm gonna help you.
I will come
with
in
this.
Yeah.
Well, I know what you're gonna be wearing. And
I got my scepter and my crown and my cape.
I'll roll out a little red carpet.
Yes.
I'll do a little Harley race. I'll even present.
Yes. Okay.
You know, I might have to drop it and spike it and smash it on your head.
Like JYD. But
I will put. Yeah. Exactly. I will put it on your head, and I'll lean into the whole Cohen King Soto stuff, and you know, not that I'm calling him king, he ain't my king, but he will have delivered on a king level for you guys.
I'm just reminding
you. Acknowledge that.
I'm just reminding you. It's not just Soto to the Mets. There are some things
going on here.
There
boy.
Are some things that come along.
And by the way,
we
also spent 2 months on Yamamoto. Nobody got him.
I know.
So watch. Soto's going to go back to the Padres.
Oh God, I'd be devastated if Soto didn't. He's got to be in New York. I can't.
He will be
for baseball purposes. I want him in New York.
Unless can I give you an off the radar wild card that not that they haven't been mentioned, but. It still doesn't seem real. Toronto. They wanted Ohtani with everything and get him. And I think I don't think he's going back out west. I don't think he's leaving us, whether it's the Yanks or the Mets.
Yeah.
Toronto's the one team I actually worry about.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We're supposed to have Jonathan Casillas, but he could not do it. We'll get back to him, I guess, next week. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here, BT. We've been talking Jets, talking some Yanks throughout the first 2 hours. We will get into the Giants and a big game against Washington coming up on Sunday. Really, the final. I mean, you know, obviously it's not going the way of the Giants this year, but if they can't win at home against Washington on Sunday, that would be a wrap on this season if it's not already over. Artie is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys, just coming back from the game. Oh, man, what a high. I mean, it's unusual to come home after a win like that, but how ironic
Hold on. Did you just say you're just coming home from the game?
I was happy.
What?
I didn't do it. Stopped around, you know, celebrated on each bar as I was going around.
You got to be kidding me.
God bless you.
You haven't been home since the game?
And now I'm at Stonebridge Country Club playing on No Sleep and a Jet High. What do you think?
Wow.
I think it's a nice.
Amazing.
I think you're doing really well, driving. Buddy. Yeah, good for you.
Wow.
So listen. So how ironic is that we don't have to kick a field goal. The guy almost misses an extra point.
Yep.
And the best kicker probably in NFL misses two field goals, baby. Right.
Are you back in, Artie? Are you buying?
Nah. You know what it is? When you look at the team and you look at the talent, the skill-wise talent, the game is won on the lines. And on third and one,
every time they have a third and one, for whatever reason, we just can't stop their third and one. We have to throw every third and one. And we got a huge break on that pass interference. Look, they got a guy like Allen, and they still can't get a yard. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, that's how you win football. Look, they could go on the run. I'm hoping. But I love the fact that I could leave that stadium and still be in it. Thanks for taking a call, guys. Go. I appreciate it.
All right, Artie, hit him straight, man. November 1st. I mean, he's basically still drunk, and he's getting ready to whack it around the golf course.
Just getting home from the game.
You imagine that?
No, I can't.
What's the latest you ever got home?
I mean, you're talking about like...
I'm talking about when you're under your parents' roof.
Yeah, I still think that there were... Now, I was not a big...
Partier?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
I did it, but I was not a big club goer or a big party. So, like, I did it, you know, maybe once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
But there were times where I got home probably, you know, 5 a.m., something like that, 4 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always respected my parents. And like, as I got older, I still do, obviously. But as I got older, you know, when I come home from college, that's where, you know, now you're on your own schedule.
Right.
Obviously, you're going out whenever you want to go out in college. Well, mommy and daddy going to say you can't go out when you're 20 years old? No, you just don't drink and drive and hang out, you know, be smart, whatever. I do remember I left. Oh, God. And they were so worried when, I'm not going to name them. But a few of my buddies, when this group would pick me up, because they knew that things could get a little rough. So these guys pick me up, and it's broad daylight. Dude, I think I left my house at 2:30 in the afternoon. I got home the next day at 11:20 in the morning.
Wow. See, that's...
Oh,
yeah, that's
it was.
Yeah. I mean, there were times, you know, staying on my parents' roof where I would, you know, still be sleeping over...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's different.
But, like, from a club.
But I was out. I'm not a club. I wasn't a club guy.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Not a big club guy.
But being out, like, on a rare occasion.
Well, we would have the house party. Like, we might go out, and then, like, a night like that, when it extends to that time, you're generally either, like, in a park or a house party or, yeah, I mean, you're not at a bar at 9
Dude,
in the morning.
This is how pathetic I was with that stuff.
Mm.
I legit remember one time, and this is, like, I'm in my probably... late 20s. I don't remember the exact time, but late 20s, just to give you a rough example,
Okay. Either
late 20s or early 30s, I was still living in my parents' house, and I was going to a party out east, and I got there, and it was just a complete, like, I felt uncomfortable. It was just a mess. I knew one person who invited me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a complete bleep show.
Like drugs and just something you don't want to be a part of?
I didn't even see that stuff, but yeah, I'm sure. That,
okay.
But yes, it was something I didn't want. Mattresses on the floor. We rented a house out east. Come hang out. They had the ice sculpture with people doing shots off
Sounds
of it.
Sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, and
really?
The mattress. Oh, yeah, pick a room. Like, you could stay here or there. And I'm like, I'm not, like, what do you think? I'm sleeping on this mattress on the floor. Legit, this is... I called my parents to come get me. And they did.
And you're almost 30?
Yeah.
Mommy. Mommy, come get me.
I can't sleep because they dropped me off. They were going to get me.
Okay, gotcha. Uber wasn't a thing. Yeah, that's true.
Wasn't... It definitely was not a thing. And I don't know why I wouldn't have driven. I guess because...
Yeah, you might want to have a couple and be smart and be safe.
Yeah, but maybe the plan was to stay over and get a ride home the next day. I forget what... But I just... I know this. I called them to come get me.
Did they both show up together?
Yeah, we stopped off, got some pizza, went home, watched probably The Sopranos or movie, whatever. It was a great night.
Oh, that is hysterical. That is... by the way, we'll get back to these calls. The guy across from us, Hoff, I mean, I could see him disappearing for 2 days.
Hoff? You used to go on benders?
Oh, my God. You can't see a young Hoff.
I don't know Hoff's
being
game
out of
like
control.
That. I'm not sure.
I can. That's my guess.
You were party animal.
He's a Catholic school. He's a Catholic school boy. That's how we did it. We had our own fun.
What do you mean by getting out of control?
Well, I mean, just like we're just talking. I know you're on the phone doing some stuff, like getting home
5 a.m.
Or no, like sometimes like missing for a day or like just crazy stuff.
I don't think I've ever gone. Well, no, that's not true.
You see, exactly. I mean, when you're under your parents' roof.
How recent?
No comment.
I mean, the guy's sleeping on couches now just doing the work hustle.
Yeah, that's different, though. Working is different.
No, I know,
I've definitely had my moments, yes. I've definitely 5, 6 in the morning, not coming home till whenever.
Concerts.
24 hours.
Come on. Who are you fooling?
Hoff, you know, he had an issue with the Christmas party.
Oh, I heard about
his phone
this.
Died.
His phone died.
I did hear about this.
Fell asleep on the train.
I remember the whole story.
Yeah. I mean, that was a late night for Hollywood. You miss those trains going up north there. You could be in some trouble.
Weren't you wandering around the streets and did you walk home from the train station?
Wasn't wandering. I was walking. I was walking to my house from White Plains.
And the walk was how many miles from the train stop to your house?
It was way too long.
Miles, right?
It took me 3 hours.
Oh, this was last year.
Those holiday parties.
I know.
This year, I got the SNY holiday party.
Gotta mess around with holiday parties.
Me neither anymore. And I said that last year, and I went.
And guess who else had a problem?
Yeah, I had a big, you're right. I had a big problem.
What happened last year?
I got hammered.
I went.
I'm like, I don't even want to go. They're like, oh, just go. And
I've never seen pictures of you. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what's that? A Mets margarita? Sure, I'll have one of those. Five later, I was like, if I'm gonna do it, usually with me, I'm either all in or I'm out.
Yep. And I'm very similar with that.
I passed out on the Long Island Railroad on the way home. it was bad. Now this year, it's on my wife's birthday, so I'm like, I'm out. There's no way.
Well, why don't you bring her? It's a free night out.
No, it's usually just.
BT, the best part about this was how he was almost scolding me, like, you can't do this anymore, bro. You're so old. You can't go to these parties. You can't do
it. I remember seeing his text because we were all. I remember.
And then the next day, he does the same thing.
That's the worst. Like, when you go to a party, especially like a work function, and you're like, what did I say? What did I do? Right. That was like a little bit too much. That is a very unsettling feeling.
That's why I just don't want to be putting myself in that position anymore.
That's a rookie move. I thought you were past that.
I thought so, too. BT and Sal, the fan will come back, reset, hit you with the crowd topic of the day. Jets and Yankees, 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.